Hi guys, it's Christian. I love city builders. I like asking kind of stupid questions from the perspective of my people, like, do they want this path 2 squares wide or 4 squares wide? Do they like these trees that adorn the village? Or do they want, some flowers? How do they feel about our current form of government and our priorities? I don't know what's so compelling about that, but when I saw Songs of Six on Reddit, I thought, wow, this looks like everything I've ever wanted. It mixes kind of Dwarf Fortress scale with Total War tactics in the game. There's battles in the game. I thought I'd give it a whirl. I was not disappointed. I actually was so impressed. I backed the Kickstarter and I had to talk to the sole developer on the project, Jake. It's been in development for 6 years now. You don't have to take my word for how good it is. You can download it and try it out for free. And if you like it, please consider backing the Kickstarter. It will not get developed without the support of people like you and me. Enjoy the interview, and thank you. All right. So, Jake or Jacob.
Hi.
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 You've been making this game for 6 years.
Yeah.
So Songs of Six for 6 years. Why have you decided to do that?
Because it was in the same period that RimWorld launched, I guess. And I didn't know how to program. I was just getting into it, and I thought, how hard can this be, right?
Right.
So I started, and well, it was kind of hard, to be honest. But the more time I put into it, the more I felt I couldn't turn back because it would have been a lot of time wasted. And here I am 6 years after.
Right, so it's 6 years. It's 6 years down the
Yeah.
line. The game is actually playable. You can get it from the Songs of Six website. It's about, I think you said it's fit about 50% completed. But I guess the six. Sorry, is that correct?
The 50%, yeah, it's something like that, I suppose. I see it as a lifelong project, or
I know because yeah, the 6 years is pretty impressive, but what's more impressive is yeah, you say another decade of development before it's completely finished.
I'd say so, yeah. I have a lot of ideas, and they're gonna last a lifetime, but I gotta draw the line somewhere, I guess.
Right.
But
A decade in the
but
future is the line.
I know maybe it sounds crazy, but I think it's a new exciting time for game developers or indie developers because you can put you can you don't have to make five or six games to support yourself. You can make one single game that's very good, and it will set you up for life and your future family and everyone. So I mean it's no it's not I don't think it's more crazy than spending 10 years building your career in some other area.
Right. Yeah. I
That's the way
mean,
I see it. That's my excuse.
well, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's actually an excuse because, yeah, you do have like quite a few examples of that being successful. Like, if the game is fun and if people can get behind it, like the guy who made Stardew Valley kind of has a little bit of a similar story in that it was just him for a really long time making the game. And I mean, everyone loves Stardew Valley. It's on the Switch now. I mean, like who could have thought? But so you decided to go into development just as kind of like, what can I do or how hard can this be?
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I had a previously I've tried to make it big in the movie business, and I wrote a book, so this was the next logical step.
Right, so you're just trying to do everything possible. Right, gotcha. What's the next hard thing that we can do? So what got you into just playing games in the first place?
No, it was basically I was into making my movies and writing my book, and then a woman happened and she got pregnant, so I had to do some damage control. So I got into programming, which is a very lucrative it has a lot of opportunities nowadays,
Right.
obviously, to just make a living. So I got into that, and I don't really remember why I started making a game, but I guess I've always had an urge to have something to do, so that's what happened. I
Well,
don't remember why I started. Honestly, I don't know.
it's one hell of a hobby. But like,
Yeah.
what was the first game? Like, just what were you, did you, were you always playing games? What was the first game that got you into, or the first experience that got you into just gaming in general, just like playing games?
Oh, that's a tough one. I don't know. I guess it wasn't. Maybe can I answer Amiga? The Amiga computer
Okay.
was my first computer. That was my first experience with games. And I think there's a lot of influences from Amiga games in Songs of Six.
Okay.
But it's hard to tell. I did a few games about 15 years ago on something called Game Maker back in the day. They were mostly RPGs and stuff, but I never thought about going that route back then. But
Right.
when I got into programming, I thought this is a good idea to get to learn a bit more about programming and just keep myself occupied. So
Awesome.
I guess that's how I started.
Cool. So it's been in development for 6 years, and development is going to go on into the future. You say that. Well, you say on the site that when you buy the game, all future, I guess, iterations of the game will come with that initial purchase, which I thought was kind of cool. So you have no like DLC planned or anything like that, sort of. Okay.
No, I never plan for that, but you never know what will happen. It depends on success, I guess,
Right.
because ultimately I want to do this for a living. So if I can't do that, maybe I need to further along, do some kind of DLC or something. So I don't want to promise anything about that. But
Right.
I think if it's successful, there's no reason for me to do that.
All
Yeah,
right.
so I'm hoping I won't have to.
I'm getting like a very humble vibe from this whole escapade kind of. Why not help, or why not bring someone else to like just increase the speed at which you can develop if, say, like a Kickstarter was successful?
Well, I would, but I would, there's two reasons for that. One is that I'm very picky when it comes to working with our other people, and the other is that, frankly, no one has offered really sincerely to help. So I'm not against bringing someone along. There's a lot of things to do that you could that I could delegate, separate things like sound and well, music is one. And there's a lot of portions in the game that could be that is kind of detached from the main game, so that it could be worked on independently, like the battle AI and such. So I'm very open to that. I mean, it's not that I don't want to, it's just that I don't really have the opportunity to do so yet. I'm hoping
Okay.
to do so
Right. So
in the future.
if you're out there, you heard it here first, folks. If you
Yeah.
can help, if you have some experience, send this guy a message. But while you're developing this now, you do have like I guess what quotes a day job and of course a family. I think I heard the toddler earlier. What's the kind of balance between all those things? How much of your time would you say per week, I guess, development of this game takes versus those other two things?
It's hard to say, but I haven't written it down, but I'd say that I've done maybe 15, 20 hours during these 6 years on average. So that's basically 5,000 hours, I think, or something like that. 5,000-6,000 hours.
All right.
I did some math today. But to answer your question, my son, the toddler, he's gonna have an effed up childhood, I'd say. But
Okay.
there's a lot of other things I could do. I tell you that.
Right.
But sure, it's a balance. I try to get away with doing as little as possible at work. It's working out quite good.
Of course, yeah.
And now recently I've actually taken an absence of leave just to focus on the game and for 2 months before the Kickstarter.
Awesome. Okay.
And I
So,
did the whole battle mechanics during that time.
awesome. Okay. So I have that leave to thank for the battle mechanics, which I enjoyed in the game. I defeated my first, my town got raided. I defeated the man, whatever his name is. I
Crawl.
forget. Crawl.
The merciless.
Right. He wanted something pretty insane. If like, what does he want? A third or a fourth of my entire supplies?
Something like that, yeah. He's greedy.
Pretty fucking rude, that guy. So the game itself is like an epic city-state simulator, as it says on the Kickstarter. I've played other games like this. I've played a lot of other games on a smaller scale, of course. The scale of this is pretty huge. So what are you bringing to the genre that's kind of new? Like, why should people check this out as opposed to some of the other games that are similar?
Like Dwarf Fortress or RimWorld, I guess.
Yeah, like Dwarf Fortress for just the scale component, but also maybe like a Total War game for the fighting component. That's kind of where I saw that similarity, so.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't wanna. It's you know, if I can pull, especially the later Total War games, that kind of mechanics off, even
Right.
though mine will be a little bit bigger, I'm gonna be really proud of myself. But the large scale battles are very eye-catching, I think. That's why it's might be a bit overrepresented when I'm presenting the game.
Right.
So I don't want to focus too much on that. Basically, what I want to do is a base builder that's you know, there are a lot of good base builders out there, and it's hard to compete with them. But I want to do an okay experience on that part. But basically, what stands out, or the main thing about Songs of Six, is that it is the scale, but it's not the scale in itself. It's more that you control society rather than individuals. So it's gonna be like your city is a living thing rather than looking after individuals. So you're gonna set policies and laws. And you're going to shape a dynamic culture. And instead of saying, you know, telling a story on Dwarf Fortress forums how this guy did that and then they did that, you're going to tell stories on how you shaped your culture and what your culture is. And it's going to be unique for every player. That's my ambition, at least.
Awesome.
So,
That's like, that's what I like about the Civilization games is like kind of the big focus picture. If you take out, the ridiculous thing that you're founding cities all over, and if you really get into it and you start to, I guess, kind of role play it, you can say, oh, we built it this way because this, and this. And I like what I liked about what I hate about a lot of the simulation games out there is that you do focus on like kind of micro relationships and like and like marriage and individual children, and anytime you can kind of sit back and take that wider picture, personally I find that to be a lot more fulfilling when playing that type of game. So I'm glad it's going in, or that's kind of sounds like your overall plan here. The specific intrigue around like the noble classes, how they might like usurp your rule. I like that. Where is that coming from?
Well, it's watching a lot of Game of Thrones, I guess. And you know, the Tudors and Rome, and just the intrigues and the struggle for power within a kingdom is a really big component of having a kingdom. So I want to represent that. I want to do two things, actually, because the smaller scale city builders, they have a thing that where you connect to the individuals, right? That's a big thing, I think, at least. So you need to feel connected somehow. And once you hit 1,000 or 2,000 individuals in your city, you're going to need something else to connect to. So there's going to be the nobility, which is going to be an extension of the subject, as I call them. The little ones, they're gonna have an extended brain, so to speak, and the extended personality and traits and such. And you're gonna assign them to different parts of your city. And they're gonna work for you, but in secret, they're gonna have their own influence. So their influence is gonna grow, and they're gonna demand things of you. And sometime it can grow beyond your control. So you can't simply depose them, because then their followers will rebel against you. And they might be doing this in groups as well. So you got to be careful. And it won't say anywhere, in a gauche or a meter. What's going on? The ambition is to have you try to figure that out yourself by listening to what they do and observing them and listening to what others say about them, and kind of like how it is in real life.
Right. Yeah, I was just gonna say it is closely mirroring what happened like historically in real life, and how kings and queens were actually put in power by a lot of other people who shared that power, something along the lines of that. So, I mean, it sounds amazing. Like, it sounds awesome. The game,
it does.
In 3 years, you say it's going to be like the full-ish release is 3 years away, and then any development after that is going to kind of be stuff on top.
Yeah, did I say that?
I guess it's a good time to ask you. Did you say that?
Yeah, maybe I probably did somewhere. Okay. But I think you're right. Yeah, it's I'm trying to see it that I'm still building the foundation of the game, and there's not a lot more basic stuff I need to add. I need to add the world map and how that functions, and the nobility class. And after that, I can start fleshing out and polishing things, which is going to make the game a lot better than it is today. But I still have some foundation work to do. So, that's what I mean by that. And I think that in 2 or 3 years, if I'm able to work on this full time, it's really going to change during that time, at least.
Well, I mean, it's really exciting. Like, certain different publishers probably would have already released this game. And I say that because it's already pretty fun to play. You can definitely tell there are things that would need to be worked on, like the occasional bug or whatever. It's still a technical build, but at its core, that stuff almost doesn't really matter, because it's still very like fulfilling to play. And it's going to be, well, I got this from your site, so just tell me if I'm right. It's $20. Okay. It's $20 for early access, and then $30 for the full version.
Yeah. I think it's about 20 now, a little less on Kickstarter, and then I'm going to put it out for 25 during early access, and then full release $30.
Okay.
That's like the plan, at least. Yeah.
The price point is so compelling. Like, I would have
you
bought this
so?
Game. Yeah, I would have bought this game for $20 right now. And I feel like a lot of other people who play these types of games would also. I mean, that seems like a really fair deal. But for right now, you do have a Kickstarter, so we're $10,000. Well, we're 10,000 Canadian dollars away, at least. With 20 days to go, so. I mean, I saw you write somewhere that it's a nail biter. How are you feeling about it?
Well, it's a nail biter. In a sense, it's the worst possible scenario for me, because I would be fine if it was a complete flop. No one liked it. And I would be very happy, of course, if it was a huge success. But it's somewhere in between. So there's a lot of, I have a lot of thinking going on. But of course, I want to continue doing it. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I'm really hoping to get it over with in any way as soon as possible, so I can move on with development. Because right now, I'm just sitting around refreshing the Kickstarter in agony.
Oh man. I don't know. Do you know anything specific about certain people who've donated? Because the overall number of backers is, I think, just under 500, but there's two that have given 701 Canadian dollars. That is at the highest tier. Do you know the people at the highest tier? Like, have they reached out to you? They want to name nobles and stuff like this?
I know who they are. I can see that. I can't tell you, obviously, but
obviously, yeah.
Maybe I can tell you that they I see them as well. They're well provided for. I know who they are, you know. So, but they haven't reached out or anything like that. I think they have money to spend, and when they see something, they're a bit eccentric when they spend stuff on Kickstarter.
Right.
I don't know. I think that's the only thing I can tell you.
Okay, that sounds
But
good. Sorry.
it's not my relatives or anything like that.
Right. I asked because I was interviewing someone else who had a Kickstarter for a VR game, and the top person who donated just happened to be this famous singer who also offered to do the music for the game. So I always think it's kind of fun when the Kickstarter kind of brings certain people to the table who have more than just a lot of money to throw around. Like they can contribute in other ways. All right, so I mean, in passing, what's I don't know. That you can grow opium and you can skinny dip in this game. Is there anything hidden? Is there anything else hidden in this game that people should know about?
Well, I think it's pretty neat that when they starve, they will start cannibalizing themselves, which I don't think anyone has noticed.
I have
But there's a
definitely
lot
not.
of.
I have not noticed that. Okay.
Well, that's just. I mean, it's really easy to add these kinds of things, these kinds of gimmicks, and I'm really eager to do that because that will make the game so much better. But I'm still struggling with the foundation, but soon enough it will be over with, and then I can start adding interesting stuff, you know, so that you can just watch a person go about their lives and be surprised every time, that kind of thing. So
Awesome.
it'll be great fun. But you've seen the laboratories, I guess.
Yes, I mean
Yes.
that was
Those are the only sound effects that are in the game
it
as a
really
note.
completes it. It really completes the game. When the laboratories were so frustrating because like when I was first starting out, because I was like, I want to build a big laboratory for future expansions, and I couldn't afford it. So I just built like four crap toilets, and then I had I think like 400 500 people, and I'd realized I still had the same four crap toilets, and the people were not happy. All right, so you can
I can
play.
tell you one thing, maybe,
Sure.
if I may,
Yeah.
which sets it apart a bit, I guess. I hope. And that's the maintenance system that basically there's nothing that simply generates stuff in perpetuity. But instead, there's a constant flow of you need to upkeep everything. So, for instance, if you take the library, for instance. The library is used to gain knowledge, which you use to in the tech tree. But instead of just generating knowledge over and over again, you need to maintain your knowledge as well. So I think this is one thing I'm very excited for because everything in the game works the same way. You need to maintain stuff. So even if you build really big, you're still going to be on the you're going to balance your income and your outcome. Not outcome. What's it called?
Expenses, I think.
Expenses, yeah. So you're going to be walking the line all the time as you grow, and the slightest dip will destroy your entire empire. So I'm hoping for a game that's a nail biter all the way through. If that makes sense. And that's what I think is very exciting because in most games you just build stuff and they generate stuff and then you build something bigger and they generate even more and then you're overpowered and the game is over.
Yeah,
So that's what I want to move away from.
the pacing of a lot of those, yeah, the pacing of a lot of simulators is kind of like that, especially with something like a Total War game, even, which isn't really a simulator, but or any Paradox type of game. Like, you have City Skylines too. They're just Tropico. There comes a certain point where you are overpowered and it's not fun anymore. You've grown too big. There's nothing else in your way. You're just playing the game to play, basically, to expand or do whatever you want to do personally. But yeah. So
Exactly.
the feeling of it all being on a knife's edge is just makes me want to follow the development even more. And of course, people can download the technical build on the Songs of Six website. And
yeah,
you can decide for yourself if you're out there listening, if this is something you would want to support. And I feel like having the technical build out there while the Kickstarter is active lends so much more credibility compared to some other Kickstarters that we've seen. Because you can actually play the game and then kind of think about where it could go. So I like that you did that. It was great.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. So to end, do you have a favorite soup you want to share with people?
Soup? I didn't know that was going to be a real thing. But something meaty. I'm not very good with soups. I think they're kind of worthless meals.
Right.
They're just food with water.
That's funny you say that. Yeah. I've been playing some Frostpunk, and one of the options to dilute your food is to serve people soup, and they get really upset. So that's funny that you say that. All right. Thanks for talking to me, Jake, and good luck with the development and good luck with this Kickstarter.
Thank you very much. I'll see you around.
That was your Digital Logic Friday episode. You can tell us what you thought of this interview at Digital Logic on all the social media. Jake, where can people follow you? Where can people learn more about this?
Well, follow right now at twitter.com/songsofsix.
All right. And you can also donate to the Kickstarter of the game, and you can see everything at songsofsix.com. That's songsofsixsyx.com, and all the links are provided there. Jake, I'm a soup fan. And I'm angered that you hate it.
Thank you. Honored.
Okay. We'll talk to you later. Bye.